Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin. I'm here by myself today. Rick Tyler's not back with us yet, but he will be back hopefully within a few weeks. We'll be back together here on the air and studying the Bible together, going back and forth like we have done for quite a few years now. I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you here to New Visions Radio, and I certainly want to thank our friend Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity each and every week to broadcast here on New Visions Radio. It's a true privilege to be a part of this family, and we can be found here every Sunday. You can catch us here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday and 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Also, you can tune in to our worship service at prophecyhope.com. That's our website, www.prophecyhope.com. And we meet there every Saturday morning. That's the biblical Sabbath. We meet there every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. for Sabbath school, where we have a round table discussion. It's really not a round table. It's kind of rectangular, but you get the point. We have a back and forth Bible study, open discussion. And you can actually tune into that and watch us study. And then at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, we have a worship service every week. And we would love for you to tune into that. You can tune in live and stream. Just go to prophecyhope.com and look to the left, and you can find that link. Also, I just wanted to let you know, if you'd like to contact me, my name is Mark. You can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. You can reach my friend and Christian brother Rick at rick@prophecyhope.com. If you'd like to just drop us a line and say hello, we do try to read every single email, and we do take Bible questions also. We try to answer those here on New Visions Radio on the program. Now, some weeks, because I'm doing the sermon series right now, some weeks we don't have time to run them, and this happens to be one of those weeks again, but we will get back on that regular schedule of answering those questions. Another thing that I wanted to do was, this is the year 2020. It's hard to believe, but at the time of this broadcast, it's 2020, and coming up this September, I know it's a little early, we're not quite to spring yet, but coming up in September of 2020, we have the Bible Prophecy Series. We usually do that every October of every year since 2012. But this year, because in this area here in Virginia, there is a hunting season and a lot of people go hunting. So what we've done is we've adjusted our schedule so that some of these hunters can come to the series. And that is September 28th through October the 3rd. That's when it's going to be, this year 2020. This is going to be a prophecy series. And we're really excited about this. We're going to touch on a lot of things, current events, things in the Bible that have led up to some of the things that are happening in the world today. And unless Jesus comes back before then, we are planning to do this on September the 28th of 2020. And also, I want to let you know that you can stream that live. If you're in the Stanton, Virginia area, we would love for you to come. But if you're not, you can stream it live. You can just go to prophecyhope.com and stream that while we're having it. That'll be every evening, September 28th, beginning at 7 p.m. We will post it on the website. It'll also be posted on the Facebook page. So you'll be alerted about the time that that's going to start well in advance. Also, I wanted to say that if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, our church address is 1743 West Beverly Street. You are welcome to join us. We also have midweek prayer meeting and Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Now, we don't stream that. If you have any prayer requests or praises that you would like to share, if you want to keep those private, we will keep them private. But we do pray for people each and every week. Sometimes we have a list that's very long. Sometimes that prayer request time on the midweek meeting can take up to 45 minutes to pray for everybody to get all of the information in. But we do. We have intercessory prayer. We pray for people each and every week. So if you have something that you feel is a matter of prayer that you would like to submit, you can email either me or Rick, and we'll be happy to deal with that. And speaking of prayer, the title of the sermon that you're going to listen to this evening is called The Power of Prayer. And we look at some of the prayers in the Bible and some of the amazing things that have happened. And it's unfortunate that many times today a lot of people think that prayers aren't effective. And it's really sad. Now, most of us who are Christians, we do believe in the power of prayer. And some of the things that we have seen at the Prophecies of Hope Church in this ministry have been really miraculous. And so we are certainly believers in the power of prayer. And what a privilege it is to be able to approach the Most High God in prayer through His Son, Jesus. It's just a marvelous thing. But the power of prayer is the name of the sermon, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. But before we do, it's always appropriate to ask for God's blessing anytime that we're going to come together and study the Bible or have any kind of a Bible discussion. So if you would, bow your heads with me, and we'll have a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this avenue of prayer that you've given us, that we can approach you, the Most High God, and that we can talk to you, that we can converse with you, that we can speak to you. And Father, we know through reading your word, the Bible, you can speak to us. And we're just so grateful that you care about us as human beings. Father, we ask for your Spirit to be with us as we listen intently to the sermon. May it draw us ever closer to you. And may we recognize that the Bible is truly your word and that you are the hearer of prayers. So, Father, we ask that you will hear this prayer, that you will lead us and direct us. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, friends, once again, the title of this sermon is The Power of Prayer. And after we listen to the sermon, we'll just come back for a few concluding remarks, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. So here we go, The Power of Prayer. Many years ago, I gave a sermon on prayer. And it wasn't this sermon at all. And I can't remember if I've used this illustration or not, but I started off by asking the congregation, when's the last time they checked their spare tire? You may have heard me use that illustration before. When's the last time you checked your spare? And I asked them, have you checked it within the last month? And nobody's hand went up. Have you checked it in the last 6 months? Ah, Rick's hand just went up. Rick's checked his in the last 6 months. Have you checked it in the past year? And a couple of hands went up, and then I asked the question, how many of you have never checked the spare tire? Oh, we have one. You've never checked. Don't even know what it is. Now, some cars today don't have a spare, so yours may be one of those. We don't know. But some people never have checked their spare tire. They've never checked it. But you know, if we went out in the parking lot today, if you left the church this afternoon, you walk outside and your tire's flat, what's the first thing you're going to look for? You're going to call. That's good. You're going to reach for your spare tire. And you will expect it to have air in it. That's our expectation. That's what a spare does. A spare has air. A spare, when you put it on the car, it's supposed to get you to the place of repair. Well, it's unfortunate that many times, and we talked about this a little bit during Sabbath school, we talked about prayer and how sometimes we forget to pray. Sometimes we don't pray. But if we were in a crisis situation and we needed God in our life, we pray. And we expect Him to be there. We expect that tire to have air in it. We expect that when we call on our Heavenly Father, when we call on the name of Jehovah, in the name of Jesus, that He is going to hear our prayer, and we hope that He answers that prayer. We really hope that He answers it according to what we want. Isn't that true? That's what we really want. We want Him to answer it according to our will. But a lot of times when we pray certain things, we don't know what's best for us. We think we do, but in reality we don't. So I thought we'd take a little time this morning and look at a few Bible accounts. And there were so many, I really had a hard time deciding. So I prayed about it. And I didn't know which ones to use because there are dozens and dozens of places that you can go to in the Bible where you read about these accounts of people praying to the Most High God and the results of their prayers, what has happened. So one of them that I thought I would mention is, how many of us have heard the name Hannah in the Bible? I want you to open your Bible to 1 Samuel. We don't have many PowerPoints today. We're going to spend a lot of time reading from the Bible itself. This is 1 Samuel, and that's in the Old Testament. It's pretty close to the front of your Bible. It's closer to the front than it is the middle, I believe. It seems that way. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So it's the opening verses here. Now, a little bit about this book of 1 Samuel is named after Samuel, who was Hannah's son. And the name Hannah, if you look at that name in the Hebrew language, it literally means favor or grace, or have been shown favor or grace. So I really appreciate the name Hannah for that. It means favor or grace. Now, the name Samuel actually means heard of God, or it can be heard in the name of God, or it can mean asked of God. So Samuel can have various meanings. So here we have Hannah, this lady that's mentioned in 1 Samuel, and it's in the book of Samuel, which is her son. So I think you'll find this interesting. Let's just read here, beginning in, this will give you a little bit of background on the family of Hannah and who they were and what took place. Right here, 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning of verse 1, it says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite." Now, some of these names, like Elihu, might sound familiar to you. You might be familiar with some of these names that you're hearing. And in verse 2, it says, "And he," that's this man, Elkanah, basically. It's this man, Elkanah. "He had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." So we have a little problem here. We have this man with two wives. Now, remember, God permitted things that he didn't always condone. I want you to notice verse 3. "This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to Jehovah of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of Jehovah, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although Jehovah had closed her womb." That's interesting terminology, Jehovah had closed her womb. Verse 6, it says, "And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because Jehovah had closed her womb." Who would her rival be? Who would that be? Peninnah, the other wife. We have problems, don't we, when that's the case. So her rival would provoke her and kind of poke fun. Verse 7 says, "So it was year by year when she went up to the house of Jehovah that she provoked her. Therefore she," that's Hannah, "wept and did not eat." Well, let's continue in this account. Verse 8. "Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?'" See, Elkanah, he loved her. He took care of her. "So Hannah," in verse 9, "arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of Jehovah. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to Jehovah and wept in anguish." Now, when it says bitterness of soul, it simply means that she felt inferior. She was anguishing. She was languishing. She felt really sad. It doesn't mean that she was angry. Okay, I just want to make you aware of that. And then in verse 11 it says, "Then she," that's Hannah, "made a vow and said, 'O Jehovah of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child,
Then I will give him to Jehovah all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, this was a Nazirite who no razor would come upon his head. And they were a group of people that God used mightily. But she was very specific in this prayer. She wanted a child. She wanted a male child. And she said, if you do this, I will give you something in return. Now, what can we possibly give God? But she says, if you do this, I will dedicate his life to you. I will give my son to you. That's what she's saying. So she wants this son just simply to give away. It's interesting. Verse 12, and it happened as she continued praying before Jehovah that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli, he was the priest there, he said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before Jehovah. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, that the God of Israel grant your petition which you have spoken, or which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So he basically gives her a blessing, saying, may your prayer be answered. Well, she had just been praying to Jehovah about these things. She wants a son. She wants to dedicate her son to him. Well, notice what happens in the very next verse. Verse 19, it says, then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before Jehovah and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and Jehovah remembered her. They had relations, is what that means. They had intercourse. And then verse 20, so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from Jehovah. Remember, we said that his name means heard of God, or it can mean asked of God. It can actually even mean the name of God. Because you notice that Samuel, El is a form of shortened form of Elohim, which is the word God. So she names him Samuel. Verse 21, now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to Jehovah the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him and he will appear before Jehovah and remain there forever. So she wasn't going to go to this temple service. She was going to stay home until the time that the child was weaned. That was about 3 or 4 years of age at that time. That's what they considered a weaned child. Now, sometimes in the Jewish heritage, it was even longer than that. But there's evidence in the Bible that this would have been when Samuel was about 3 years old or so, that she would have done this. And I think we find that in the text here, if we continue on. But notice she says that when he appears before Jehovah, Samuel will remain there. She's going to leave him there. So verse 23, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let Jehovah establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Verse 24, now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of Jehovah in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my lord, speaking to Eli, as your soul lives, my lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to Jehovah. For this child I prayed, and Jehovah has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to Jehovah. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to Jehovah. So they worshipped Jehovah there. That's beautiful. She kept her promise. But Jehovah was faithful in answering the prayer that she asked. You know, this is something that a lot of times in our prayer life, I've put stipulations on God. I don't know if you've ever done it. Father, if you do this for me, then I will do that for you. We have to follow through on that, just like she did. How difficult do you... She had prayed for this young boy. She wanted a male child. She had been praying for him. She was barren. Finally, she has him. After she weans him, what's she do? She lets him go. How difficult would that be for you as a parent, as a mother in particular? Mothers have a special bond with their children. Well, it's beautiful. As we read through this account, sure enough, Samuel becomes a great prophet in Israel. And he actually maintained direct communication with Jehovah throughout his life. It's a beautiful thing if you read these whole accounts, if you look through these books. And in addition to Samuel, God didn't just give her Samuel. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, if you take a look there for a moment, it says, "And Jehovah visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before Jehovah." You see, when we're willing to do for God, he blesses us with more a lot of times than what we ask for. She only asked for 1 son, according to the account that we read. But she was blessed over and over again. And I have to say, I don't know about you. I think I do know about some of you. I don't know about everybody who's tuning in. But this has been my experience. When I ask, it seems like God always outgives the things that I'm asking for. He outgives anything that I could do for him. You see, Hannah knew the importance of prayer. She trusted that God would answer that prayer. And each year she went with her husband to sacrifice at the tabernacle, except for those years that she weaned her child. And she made that great sacrifice of her own, giving up the companionship of her son. Does that remind you of someone? The father giving up the companionship of his son to send him to earth for us, to die on our behalf? See, but she kept her word. She made a new coat for Samuel every year, if you read through the account. And then if you look, we're not going to read this, but in chapter 2 of Samuel, beginning in the first verse, this is actually a prayer. It's a song of thankfulness that she sings, that she prays to our Heavenly Father. And she and Elkanah actually presented Samuel for temple service. And the words that are said here in Hannah's prayer, if you compare them to Luke chapter 1, do this in your personal study. It's just a little encouragement for you. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. You'll find a lot of similarities between Hannah's prayer here and the prayer of Mary, the song that Mary sang after she recognized that she was going to have the Messiah. It's a beautiful thing. There's a relationship there. So the power of prayer, that's a very powerful thing, what we see happening here in 1 Samuel. Let's look at another account in the New Testament, the Bible book of Acts. Acts chapter 12, I'd like you to turn there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It's New Testament. And here we have the Apostle Peter. He was a preacher. He laid down everything and followed Christ. And he had been put in prison. Why was he imprisoned? For preaching the truth. For preaching the gospel. He was thrown in prison. And look at what happens here. Acts chapter 12. And we're going to begin in verse 1. This gives us a little history of what was taking place there. It says, Acts 12, 1. It says, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So he was surrounded. So look at verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Does that sound familiar? We pray for people every week. And sometimes over and over and over, constant prayer was offered to God for Peter by the church. And verse 6, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie your sandals. And so he did, and he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. It would seem kind of unbelievable, wouldn't it? Here you are in jail. He might have thought it was a vision, or he was dreaming. But notice what it says, verse 10. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gates that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Wow. So the church had been praying for him. What a miracle. Why do we not imagine these things like this happening today? We look at that and say, well, that was then. That doesn't happen now. Friends, I believe stuff like this does happen now. Think of the prayers that this church has prayed, that the friends in this church have prayed. Think of the miracles that God has done within this group, outside of this group, people that we've prayed for, relationships that we've prayed for, healings that we've prayed for. Jay Smiley is an example. For years he's been feeling bad. And he gives all the glory to God, as he should. We prayed and prayed. How many years have we prayed for that? Since he's been coming here, the Bible study on Wednesday nights. This is not coincidence. It's not coincidence. The church prayed for his release in verse 5 of chapter 12, for Peter's release, and God answered it. And it happened so fast, Peter thought he was dreaming. He finds himself outside of the city. And when he comes there, those people were praying. No doubt. I wonder what they thought. What was going on in their minds when there he is. So you can read the rest of that account in your own time. It's very good. It's very good reading. Now, there's another man. How many of us have heard the name Hezekiah? Hezekiah, yeah. He was actually a king. The name Hezekiah means Jehovah strengthens. Jehovah strengthens. Now, there were numerous prophets and contemporaries of Hezekiah, and I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but I found this very interesting. If we look here on the PowerPoint, it is Isaiah 1:1. It says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. And then here's another one in Hosea 1:1. We read this not long ago in our Wednesday night Bible study. The word of Jehovah that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. And then again, we see in Micah 1:1, the word of Jehovah that came to Micah, the Moreshite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. So we can see that Hezekiah was well known. Is he well known by us? Well, let's learn a little bit about him. Let's turn to 2 Kings. It's right after the books of Samuel. 2 Kings chapter 18. And we'll find some details about Hezekiah here in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And this is great reading, friends, in your personal study. Try to read some of these accounts. Sometimes we think of the Old Testament as, well, it can just be a lot of lineage, it can be kind of boring, but it's really very exciting. And we get to know a lot of the people that were talked about in the New Testament. So let's take a look here. 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah." So he was very young. It says here he was 25 years old when he became king. I couldn't imagine having that kind of responsibility at that age. It would have probably gone to my head. Verse 3, it says, "And he did what was right in the sight of Jehovah." Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of Jehovah according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. So I want you to, Nehushtan. I want you to notice, I just did this, I put this in the PowerPoint. This is where an artist's depiction of Moses there, what this is talking about. And this word, Nehushtan, simply means serpent idol. That's what it means. And he had, if you remember, in the book of Numbers chapter 21, if you do this in your personal study, you can read about this, where Moses was holding this up. The people were getting bit by vipers, but as long as they looked at this serpent on a stick, they had salvation. And this is referenced also in later on in the New Testament. This particular account is referenced. So it's interesting to study those things. I just happened to get that picture the other week when Brother Juan and I had went to visit somewhere, and I took that picture of a picture. It was an artist's conception in a building that we went to. And if he's watching, he probably remembers that particular picture. Well, back to 2 Kings chapter 18. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. Now, I want you to notice what he's done. He's removing all this false worship. Remember, Israel had been guilty of just bringing terrible things into worship. Well, Hezekiah says enough is enough. He wants to please Jehovah. Let's get rid of all of this stuff. We're worshiping the one true God. And in verse 5 it says, "He," that's Hezekiah, "trusted in Jehovah God, the God of Israel." It says, "So after him was none like him," "none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor were before him. For he held fast to Jehovah. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which Jehovah had commanded Moses." Jehovah was with him. He prospered wherever he went. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. So that's amazing. Hezekiah was a good king. He worshiped the one true God. But we're talking about prayer here, aren't we? But I just wanted you to see the kind of man Hezekiah was. This gives you a little information about him. Did you know that Hezekiah had prayed and asked God to extend his life? Are you aware of that? Let's look just a couple of chapters over. 2 Kings chapter 20. And we'll look at this. It says in verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. It says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him." So you see, he was a contemporary of Isaiah. He said to him, "Thus says Jehovah, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." So who told him that? Isaiah said, Jehovah says this, you're going to die, you're not going to live. In verse 2, then he turned his face, that's Hezekiah. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to Jehovah. And here's his prayer. It's recorded right here. Verse 3. "Remember now, O Jehovah, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court that the word of Jehovah came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says Jehovah, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of Jehovah, and I will add to your life, to your days, 15 years. I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." So they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What is the sign that Jehovah will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of Jehovah the third day?" Then Isaiah said, "This is the sign to you from Jehovah, that Jehovah will do the thing which he has spoken, and shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? He's asking. And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to Jehovah, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. You see what that's saying? We know that the sun is moving, and we can anticipate where the shadow is going to be. But he says, "I want a sign that this is true." And the shadow moved back 10 degrees. That's what this is saying. The shadow miracle. This evidently had far-reaching effects, because in 2 Chronicles, I want you to notice this, 2 Chronicles, here we go, if I can just get the PowerPoint to move. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Go ahead. There we go. It's working now. It says in the PowerPoint, "In those days Hezekiah was sick to death." This is in 2 Chronicles. This is after the fact. "And prayed to Jehovah, and he spoke to him, and he gave him a sign." That's Jehovah gave him a sign. And then in chapter 32, verse 31, it says, "But in regard to the ambassadors of the rulers of Babylon who sent him to ask about the wonder that was done in the land, God left him in order to try him to know all that was in his heart." So this was something that was well known. In fact, I'm not sure if you knew this. Have you ever heard of the Jewish historian Josephus? Josephus actually writes about this, and he mentions this account and speaks that these steps of Ahaz were likely in his house. And he indicates that there was obviously a stairway there, and there was a post that was, or a column placed alongside the stairs, and the sun's rays caused a shadow to be cast on the floor next to the stairs. And they looked at that as a measurement of time. They could tell how far the sun had set in his house. So Josephus records that they saw this go backward. Now, that's not in the Bible, but a Jewish historian was very well aware that this was the case. It's recorded in 2 Chronicles for us that this did, in fact, happen. So I find it very interesting. And look at how God answers this prayer. You know, I have to tell you, when I'm reading this, he was on his deathbed. He knew he was going to die. He had been told he was going to die. And what's he do? He prays and asks for more time. It's a beautiful thing. The prayer that God answered gave him 15 years. 15 more years. It's just, it's beautiful, the prayers that God answers. I've got several more, but I want to just go through a couple of things. There's another man that I know we all are well aware of, and that is Moses. Moses, we're very well aware of him. The name Moses means drawing out of the water. If you remember, he had been put in a little basket as a baby, and it had floated down, and somebody took him out of the water, and that's how he got his name. And, you know, Moses asked God. He wanted to see him. Let's turn there to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. And if you notice verse 18, Moses is speaking to God and he says, "Please show me your glory. Please show me your glory." Now, if you remember what had happened here, let's just begin in verse 12. I'm just going to take a few minutes. I think this is important enough, we need to read it. If we look at Exodus chapter 33, let's begin in verse 12. It says, "Moses said to Jehovah, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, as I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way.'" This is Moses speaking. "That I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." He's pretty bold. He's pretty bold. In verse 14, "And he said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then he said to him," that's Moses says to God, "'If your presence does go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from the people who are upon the face of the earth.' So Jehovah said to Moses, 'I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.'" And he said, "Please," Moses says to the Father, "please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of Jehovah before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And Jehovah said, "Here is a place by me that you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Shall not be seen, it says. And we know this account. We've talked about it many times. He puts him in the crag of the rock. He covers over. He passes by. Moses gets a glimpse of his glory. And what happens? Moses was glowing. Literally glowing from the presence of God. You know, I look forward to the day that we will see Jesus coming in the clouds, and then Jesus takes us in the air, and we meet him and the Father. We'll be standing in their presence. You know, Moses in James 2:23 is called the friend of God. I want to be God's friend. He talked to God regularly. He has this beautiful conversation. He asked for God's blessing on the Israelites and for God's presence to go with them as they traveled. And he asked to see God's glory, and God grants him all of these things. You know, if we worship like Moses, if we had that kind of faith, if we had faith like Hezekiah, if we had faith like Hannah, if our prayers and our faith were like theirs, imagine the prayers that could be answered. Imagine how much better of a relationship we would have with our Heavenly Father. You know, we're aware of the account in Daniel where Daniel prays. He prayed before God, and he could stand before a king and profess things that you and I would never on our own be able to profess, that Daniel on his own would not have known. There's no way he could have interpreted that dream for the king unless God gave him that information in Daniel chapter 2. The things God does in our lives, reflect on that. Think about what he has done in your life, for you personally. Think about the things that we've prayed and asked for in this church. You know, I think about things that I've been told about when I was a little boy. I should have died when I was very young. I don't remember. But prayer got me through that. I believe that was prayer that did. I know people were praying. You know, I prayed one time years ago when I first started coming to the truth of the Bible. The first time I'd ever really recognized that this was... I'd been taught all of my life it was God's Word. But in my late 20s, I began to realize this is God's Word. This is a special book. And I remember praying and asking God to give me the ability to be able to speak. And if you would have told me then that I would be doing this today, I would have literally laughed out loud at that. But as a result of that prayer, he taught me to be able to have the boldness to get up here and do what I'm doing now. Through prayer, he taught me the responsibilities of an elder in a church. I was used in a church as an elder for many years. Through the prayers of people like Rick and Mary and another church, praying that I would come to truth from the church that I was in and come into truth that they knew and understood. Through that prayer, I came to know the Sabbath truth and other truths. It's amazing when I think about how God has worked in my life for healing. Just a year and a half ago, everybody was praying. You know, I didn't ask for extra life. I just asked for courage, and I was given that. But I was also given extra life, and I believe it was because of the prayer of the friends that are here and those who were praying elsewhere. That's just my personal testimony, friends, of how prayer has worked just a little bit in my life in these events. And there were times that I felt alone, but I knew I wasn't alone. And I believe that when I read this psalm, I'm sorry, I had this picture of Daniel, but I want to go to this psalm. Psalm 116. This is beautiful to me. I just want to wrap this up a little bit. Psalm 116 verses, we're actually going to read the whole psalm. And I put it on the PowerPoint. This is from the literal version. I love Jehovah because he hears my voice, my prayers, because he has bowed his ear to me. I will also call in my days. The cords of death hemmed me in, and the pains of Sheol found me. I find distress and sorrow. Then I call on the name of Jehovah. O Jehovah, I beseech you, deliver my soul. Jehovah is gracious and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. And it continues in verse 6. Jehovah watches over the simple. I was low, but he saved me. Return to your rest, O soul, for Jehovah has blessed you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eye from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the face of Jehovah in the lands of the living. I believed, so I speak. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. And it continues. What shall I return to Jehovah for his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of Jehovah. I will pay my vows to Jehovah now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the eyes of Jehovah is the death of his saints. O Jehovah, truly I am your servant now. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. I will sacrifice you to you the sacrifice of thanks and will call on the name of Jehovah. I will pay my vows to Jehovah now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of Jehovah, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise Jehovah. That's a beautiful psalm. It's actually a song of worship and praise to our Heavenly Father. And if you look in there, I highlighted some things because these things touch me. He watches over the simple. He delivered me from death. Delivered my feet from stumbling. I believe, so he gave me the ability to speak. What can I return to Jehovah for his benefits to me? I can lift up the cup of salvation. I can share these things with others. I can proclaim the gospel because he's given me that ability. He's loosed my bonds. I was in bondage in the church that I grew up in. So what a beautiful thing. You know, we pray to God, we ask, and he gives. Do we thank him? Do we praise him? Do we share our innermost thoughts with him? You know, we can vent. I have a tendency, if I get frustrated, I call Rick sometimes, and I just explode. I feel like I'm exploding. I don't know if I really do, but it's a process. Sometimes I'm like a pressure cooker. You know, you just have to let things go. You have to talk about them. We can do that with our Heavenly Father. When you're frustrated, when you're angry, when you're hurt, when you're lonely, you can talk to your Heavenly Father. We can talk to him like a friend. He was Moses' friend. He was Abraham's friend. That's what we're told in the Bible. So this avenue of prayer, if you went out in the parking lot today and you had a flat, you would expect your flat, your spare, to have air in it. Check in with our Heavenly Father. I like that little reminder. A little reminder pops up on your screen to say, what's it say? Take time. Take time to pray. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and they said, you know, I forget to pray. And I thought, well, you don't forget to pick up the phone and call me. I'm nobody. Why do we forget to pray? Maybe God's not as real to us as he should be. Where is he in our relationship? Do we only call on him when we're in need? My plea to you is to share your life with him. Converse with him. Talk to him. I want to share a closing text here. This is James. This was our scripture reading. It said, is anyone sick among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And it continues. Confess your trespasses to one another. That's what the brotherhood's about. And pray for one another. That's what the brotherhood's about. That you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. That's in 1 Kings chapter 18, if you'd like to read that. We read 2 Kings today, but read that account. I'm encouraging you to do that. Read that account. You'll see the power of prayer. You will see it. So again, keep in mind this text, last verse. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, we need to have God in our lives, in every aspect of our lives. When you have a friend, you call them and talk to them. You go to their house and you sit down and talk to them. If we really believe that God is our friend, we know He's our Creator. Maybe we don't feel worthy sometimes. I've been there. I know what that feels like, to not feel worthy to approach Him. If He's our friend, we can approach Him. The power of prayer. When's the last time you checked your spare? When's the last time you checked in with your Heavenly Father? I want to thank you all for your prayers. Because if you all weren't praying for this ministry and for the things that God has allowed me to do, that He's allowed everyone here to do, this ministry wouldn't be here. It's through the power of prayer that this ministry exists. It's because it was God's will. I believe that. I believe that He has put this group together and many like it around the world.
Well, friends, I sincerely mean that. I really do appreciate your prayers. Our ministry appreciates your prayers. And we're grateful for the support that you give us as far as your prayers and the questions that you ask and just the time that you give us here on New Visions Radio. So let's close with a word of prayer, shall we? And then we'll sign off. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything you provide for us. Thank you for life. Thank you again for this avenue of prayer. Father, thank you for being the hearer of our prayers. We ask that you will be with us until we come together again. We ask for your Spirit, and we just pray that we can come together again next week and hear more from your word, the Bible. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So friends, I want to thank you again for tuning in, and until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.